This week's episode of the FitCast is brought to you by TurbulenceTraining.com. Boost muscle growth and blowtorch body fat at TurbulenceTraining.com. Also by BlackStarLabs.com. You can save 10% when you use the code FIT10 at checkout. That's FIT10. And also by RobertsonTrainingSystems.com. High octane corrective exercise and performance enhancement at RobertsonTrainingSystems.com. Hello and welcome to this week's episode of the FitCast. This is episode number 77. My name is Kevin Larrabee, and first off, along with me is Jimmy Smith of jimmysmithtraining.com and also jimmysmithtraining.blogspot.com. How's it going, Jimmy?
It's good, Kev. How are you today?
Doing pretty good. Kind of tired from the shoveling. For those of you who are listening, the New England listeners, you know what I'm talking about, and also those in the Buffalo area probably got a lot of snow, as you could see from the...
Yeah, it sucks. I hate snow.
Yeah, and it's nice and heavy. It's nice and wet, which is always a plus, and I enjoy that. So it's a good time for everyone. And also, we have a special guest with us this week. You probably know him from Inside Out, his DVD Inside Out, also Magnificent Mobility, Building the Efficient Athlete, and also you can check out his Bulletproof Knees manual as well. All that stuff is available at RobertsonTrainingSystems.com, and that's our guest this week. It's Mike Robertson. How you doing, Mike?
Doing well, man. We've got plenty of snow here, too, so I don't think you guys are the only ones. We got about 7-8 inches yesterday, so...
I'm just complaining, so I just...
Good times in the Midwest, too.
Yeah, I just want people to feel my pain, I guess. But we have a pretty short show for you guys this week. We're going to try to keep it under about 50 minutes, just so the rest of us can, you know, get some rest. It is the weekend and such. But first off, let's jump off quickly into the FitCast news. I'll try to blast through that as quickly as I can. First off, for those of you out there who want to get in on the holiday special for the FitCast Insider Volume 1, it's going to be 35% off until this Friday. So you can get it for under $50 until this Friday, and this Friday only. After that, the price is going back up to $75. So if you want to get in on that, do it now, or I'm sorry, you can direct all complaints to Jimmy Smith, who has nothing to do with this project. But I don't want to hear it. So check that out. Also, and keep in mind, you can just pick that up at thefitcastinsider.com for those of you who don't know where it is. Also, again, I promised the review of the science behind the cycle diet last week from Scott Abel. I promise I'm going to have that up probably on Monday or Tuesday. I actually finished writing the review. I just need to edit it. Watch the DVD. Loved it. Probably the only thing I was concerned about is that I need to email Scott to clarify a lot of things, but that's the great thing about it is Scott's there, so if you need to email him some questions about the DVD, I mean, he got back to me within a half an hour, so...
What was your question about the DVD again?
I can't remember. Oh, some part of it was trying to... I just wanted to have him be a little bit more specific on when someone is in super compensation mode. I know he clarified it a couple times throughout the DVD, but I felt like I kind of needed just a better definition.
A better definition of what super comp mode is, or what, or
how to detect it, especially if it's in your client and you want to see if they're in super compensation mode,
super compensation mode really just refers to the ability to use up glycogen.
Okay? Yeah,
for the ability for you to convert glucose to glycogen and use it as a form of energy. So I think there's a lot of factors. Obviously, you know, people are going to have the clients are just going to be overall weak.
Mm-hmm.
Now, again, I think in Scott's DVD, it's been a while since I watched it, he talks about on a week-to-week basis. You know, it's like when you look at obviously for a couple weeks in a row, you'll see like loss of muscle tissue, because like everybody throws around gluconeogenesis, you know, online, cause it's a really big word. But when you really get into it, you'll see how much it pulls muscle, you know, how much it eats up muscle. But back to the super comp thing, like people should be weaker overall in the gym. People won't hold water because like muscle's only like 30% protein. You know, it's and so that other 70% is water, blood volume, and, you know, mitochondria and some other things. So the super comp mode, I think a great way to recognize it is just the client being extremely weak. And the client just like really not wanting to be there, having no energy. It's kind of basically like what you see with people in just general low carb diets. Like people follow Atkins for the first time.
All right, I guess Jimmy was finished talking. Are you all right, Jimmy?
You said and it kind of no. You said and it scared me, so I just stopped talking.
I apologize for that. I'm just clearing my throat a little bit. Sorry. And also, this was supposed to be a short show, but well, I guess that's going out the window. And actually, you know what? That kind of reminds me, Mike. Is that did people miss out on that 12-day holiday special you and Eric are still doing on your products?
Yeah, we ran that December. Well, it was really like November 29th through December 12th. So unless people just there's like an outpouring of people that say, "Hey, I missed out on the sale. Something, help us out," and we're probably done with that. There are a few people that wrote and just said, "Hey, I was out of town," or this, that, or the other. So we've hooked a few people up. So if you want something, shoot me an email and we'll see what we can do.
Yeah,
if you saw it on the FitCast.
And also, like, it's on all your products, right? Or is it just on one thing? Or
yeah, we gave 15% off all our products for about 14.
Oh, cool.
We tried to do it early so that way people, if they wanted it, you know, it's kind of weird thinking people want your stuff for like Christmas.
Yeah.
You know, but it was pretty cool. You know, I mean, people are like, "Oh, Christmas present for my kid," you know. But the reason we tried to do it early is to make sure our distributor, Vervante, had plenty of time to get it, ship it out, and get it to them before Christmas. So, or Hanukkah or Kwanzaa or whatever else you celebrate. But yeah, if you guys still want a deal, shoot me an email. I'll see if I can hook you up.
Yeah, I just got a really crazy vision of an 11-year-old kid saying, "I want bulletproof knees to Santa on Santa's knee." I don't know. That's just a vision I just
Hopefully, an
had.
11-year-old doesn't need bulletproof knees, but
maybe he's getting it for his dad or his mom. Who knows?
That's true. You never know.
Next up, what do we got here? I was actually talking with Jimmy about this before the show, but Mike Boyle, his winter seminar is coming up on January 26th. He now has a sign-up page ready to go for people who do want to sign up. It's $99. And again, I mentioned who's going to be presenting last week. It's going to be Eric Cressy, Brijesh Patel, Mike Boyle, John Paloff, and also Anthony Slater. So it's a pretty nice lineup. They're talking $25 per presentation, or $20 per presentation, and you know what? Extra incentive. I'll bring T-shirts that say mine and John Williams' names on it. It's the vintage FitCast T-shirt, which everyone is wearing. Vintage is the new hip thing to do. So if you want to get in on one of those, and you're going to be going, just send me an email, and I will bring as many of as people want. I still have a bunch of them to give out, so. Just keep that in mind. So that's going to wrap it up for the FitCast news. Let's jump right into the mailbag without a pause. And this is a question that our listener Brett actually had for Jen, but we're going to tackle it as the three guys. The question is, I have a question regarding coaching women to help them reduce their body fat levels. I've noticed that in the first couple weeks of a program, everything goes according to plan and the women drop 3 to 5 pounds. But then when, quote, that time of the month happens, women start their menstrual cycles, abdominal pain and mood swings prevent them from being able to exercise with any intensity. Do you have any advice on helping women to continue lose weight over the course of their menstrual cycle? And he finishes off by saying perhaps Jen would be the best person to answer this question, but unfortunately, Jen's actually celebrating her, I think it's her twin's birthday today, so Jen, we miss you, and hopefully that pisses off Jimmy that I gave you a shout out, because he doesn't like that. But Brett just finishes up saying, "Thanks guys, love the show, keep it up." And again, that's Brett from Toronto, Ontario, Canada. So I know both Jimmy and Mike, you guys both train females, so I mean this must be a problem that you do run into. First off, Mike, since you're our guest, we're gonna jump to you first. How do you handle this kind of situation?
Well, you know, I think he is correct. You know, there are obviously issues that women deal with in regards to their menstrual cycle that guys don't have to deal with. But I think one thing he's missing out on, or maybe losing perspective on, is the big picture. I mean, yeah, you know, you might see some, you know, they might be retaining more water over that period of time, or they might not be as tight with their diet or as strict with their training. But, you know, generally, if you're losing 3 to 5 pounds of body weight in a month and you gain 1 or 2 back, you know, hopefully only one, you know, over the long term, that's going to amount to some pretty good net increases or net improvements. So, you know, if anything else, you know, you kind of have to chalk it up to, you know, being a woman. And so if you're just looking at it on a one-month basis, then gain doesn't look as good. But, you know, if you're in a net deficit over, you know, 5, 6, 7 months, well, now you're talking about, you know, 3 to 4 pounds every month, 15 to 20 pounds over the course of, you know, 5, 6 months. So,
mm-hmm.
You know, well, I see where he's going with that. I think I would try and, instead of having them focus so hard on that week to 10 days where they're having issues, I'd rather them look at the big picture and say, look, this is a fact of life. It's something you're going to deal with. Let's try and do damage control during that week and then, you know, make up for it the other 3 weeks out of the month. So that would be my answer there. I know Jimmy works with more, you know, more figure fitness type people, so I'd be interested to hear what he has to say and what he does.
Yeah, my answer is not too different than yours, Mike. I mean, I think it's kind of a short-sighted approach in that it's 1 week and everything gets kind of spastic and thrown out the window. I think that is a good time. I mean, you should, you know, regular, quote-unquote, regular people will need deload weeks too. They need the weeks where their intensity is down. You know, the only times I really notice it is when I do work with, like, figure or fitness people that when they're dieting down. When you're dieting down, the rules kind of go out the window because women will miss their cycles and you know, some other things there. So I would really say that I wouldn't be too concerned about it. You know, if you're getting 3 to 5 pounds of fat, you know, the first week or 2 weeks, like that's a good gain right there. I mean, I wouldn't just try to push it, and you have to look at nutritionally what happens during that time period. You know, during that week, more women will crave. They won't stay on their diet, like you pointed out, but they'll also crave salty foods, because salty foods are in effect for what's going on. So the salt you have, it's going to be, you know, basic table salt, which will help you to retain more water. Because if you would totally eliminate one electrolyte, the minute you put it back in, everything's going to be flushed because water's going to follow sodium. So that's going to also play a reason for the bloating. But I really don't see a reason to be overly too concerned about it. Again, unless it's, you know, someone that is trying to diet down for a contest, but then again, those rules are kind of out the window. So I wouldn't be too concerned.
Jimmy Varner, our resident, I guess you could say our resident talk show forum co-host, mentions that regarding the menstrual cycle question, I just explained the process and that they should just, quote, live with it, and that it's only temporary. And also, he adds, remember that they are emotional as well. Be sensitive. That's a great point, Jimmy Varnett. We got to give Jimmy a different name, because I got an email from someone saying that they kept confusing, they kept thinking that I was talking about Jimmy Smith when I was talking about Jimmy Varner. So how about JV? That's not a bad nickname, although it sounds like Junior.
Why don't you just call him by his last name?
Okay.
I'll just call him by Varner. I mean, you know, like Dick Clark or Ed McMahon would never make that issue as a host. You know, you shouldn't have made that mistake either, pal.
I apologize. I'm sure I'll get more hate mail this week. But, Mike, we actually have another question for you. The question is, I've had remarkable success using magnificent mobility drills from your DVD with my clients. Do you have a handout that I could offer my client.
Yeah, what we suggest most people use is the e-manual that Eric and I sell. So, if you're probably only going to give them, one or two drills or a couple drills, then, you can just photocopy the stuff from there. Obviously, we don't want you taking all 30 drills and photocopying and giving them to every client. We appreciate that you like our work, but at the same time, it takes time to produce it and develop it. So, if you just got, a couple drills you want to give each client, I have really no issue with that. If they do want them all, either they can buy the DVD, they can buy the e-manual. The e-manual is only like $15, and you'll basically, the whole reason we created that was so people would have something they could take to the gym. So that's what I would suggest. If somebody just wants a couple drills, I really don't have an issue with them photocopying them a couple and giving them to their clients.
Yeah, and just kind of off topic, but on topic, with the e-manuals that you can buy from people online, I found that it is super easy, effective, and cheap to throw it on like a memory stick, or you can throw it on a CD and bring it to Staples, and they'll actually print it out for you, and they'll throw it in like a spiral like binder, so you can actually carry that around with you, and it's usually only like $5. Like they throw it in a not a binder, but just it has like a spiral. You guys know the word I'm looking for, but they just put it together, so it's printed out. It takes them about 10 minutes. You can just look around the store while they're doing it, and I just found that's pretty much what I do with all the e-manuals and e-books that I get. Not a three ring binder, but it's the things that
like a spiral
thing on the outside that just holds all the pages together. Everyone out there knows what I mean. If you've been to somewhere like Staples or you've been to a print shop, that's kind of what I'm talking about. So that might be a great way to, I mean, it's not really helping the environment, but it's a great way to have that so you can just jump to it when it's on the shelf and look something up quickly. So another.
I got a question for Mike.
Okay.
That's kind of a little off topic. Mike, what are you what's new with you with mid-low trap work? What are you doing there to fire the mid-low traps and kind of pull the scapular back from its anterior wing position? Because I know a lot of people will look, thoracic spine, do a lot of thoracic spine stuff, and then for mid-low traps, do the Y, T's, W's, the wall slides.
Sure.
Are you finding that even during those times, you'll have people that will feel like levator, upper trap tightening? Are you doing anything new? Like what are you doing with that stuff now?
Well, and I'm going to give away some of Bill Hartman's good stuff here, so hopefully if he's listening, he's not going to get pissed off. Because this is the stuff that him and I are always talking about. What I've been doing is a mixture of stuff. So, I think the YT, that kind of stuff, is great as far as basic sensory motor stuff, motor control, whatever you want to call it. As far as, when we think about those muscles, we need them for posture, but we also need them for stability, right? So what I've been doing is, and I do this with a lot of my online clients currently, are just pull-up holds, okay, like an ISO at the top of a pull-up, all right? So what you would do is basically climb up to the top where you would be actively kind of depressing your scapula, so really firing your lower trap, and then holding that position for time. You've never done that before? Try it. I mean, I wouldn't be surprised if a lot of people that can bang out tons of chin-ups can only maximally hold that top position for 5, 6, 7, 8 seconds. Okay? So that's one of the things I've been doing, because if you think about that, think about the transfer to bench pressing. I mean, that's exactly where your scapula need to be if you're going to bench press properly, right?
Mm-hmm.
So I've been playing around with that. I've been playing around with some dumbbell fly type EQIs at the end of my chest workouts, or the end of chest, wow. I can't believe I just said that. body workout. Getting some active opening of like the anterior shoulder girdle, following that up with like a prone, just a prone Y hold for time, like an ISO there to try. Okay. At the end of my workout, I'm kind of lengthening the anterior chest and coming in and working on actively, recruiting the serrate or the lower trap, and getting those muscles to fire at the end of my workout. So those are kind of some of the things I've been playing around with. And then just the biggest thing is, I mean, just it needs constant stimulation. You know, the way we were with glutes a couple of years ago, that's almost how we have to be with serratus, lower trap, that kind of stuff. Because if we don't work on it, it has such a tendency to shut off and kind of work against us. So, I mean, it's on that same level where, you know, almost throughout the day I'll do, you know, like a mini mobility workout. I was doing some stuff before, but now it's like, you know, especially if I'm going to sit at the computer for 2 hours, I'll get up for 5, 10 minutes, do some drills, get the right muscles working for me, and then go back to whatever I was doing. So,
Sure. Yeah,
that makes sense.
that's interesting about the pull-up holds in the top. I actually never thought that. I'm gonna give it a go. I'm gonna give it
I had never thought of it either. I got to give Bill total credit for that. But, you know, I've been
a
playing around with that. And, you know, my right side, my right shoulder has more issues from just years of baseball, volleyball, all kinds of, you know, things that are inherently kind of traumatic to your shoulders. So it's affected my posture there. And so I've really been working to get that balanced out. And it's making a difference. I'm starting to get pretty healthy and starting to get strong again. So it's a good feeling.
Good.
Mike, I actually have a question that is really relevant to kind of the season that we're in right now. I know a lot of people are going to be spending, they could be spending an hour or two a week shoveling their driveways, shoveling their walkways. I know my voice just changed. I know I'm 20, almost 22, and that still happens. I apologize. So just roll with it. I'm going to take a sip of water after I say this, and we will just forget that happened. But what I'm trying to say is basically what can people do? Like, what can people do to just should they be worried about having to do some kind of a warm up before they go out, even like shoveling? Because I mean that could be a pretty intense workout. Do you recommend to your clients that they at least like get up, you know, do some mobility stuff before they pick up the shovel and they start b basically being bent over for the next hour?
Right. Well, you know, the thing is, you know, when you're young, you can get away with so much stuff. You know, you can go out cold and just start playing basketball. And, you know, as you get older, I mean, you realize, oh, yeah, maybe I should, you know, do some of this warm-up stuff and, you know, things along those lines. So I absolutely tell, you know, the clients that I work with, like, you know, they've all basically got, you know, their mobility routines or their whole warm-up down. It's like, look, man, it's not like you have to do foam roller activation mobility all before you shovel the snow, right? But, you know, it doesn't hurt to get the blood flowing a little bit, get yourself loosened up. I mean, you're going to be plenty warm by the time you're doing it. But yeah, you know, it's one of those things where, especially if you're working with 40, 50, you know, even lower 60-year-old clients, like, look, man, if you're going to, you know, go out and shovel snow for an hour, you got a high likelihood that you can get injured, especially if it's this wet, you know, heavy stuff that we've been getting. So, I'll absolutely tell them, you know, just kind of go through a quick little routine, get yourself loosened up. You know, because it's never a deal of, you know, people don't ever remember the 100 workouts that they didn't warm up for and, you know, never got injured. They remember the one workout where they didn't warm up and they
Exactly.
got injured.
Yeah.
So, you know, it's selective memory in that case. So, absolutely, I'll tell them, you know, just a few quick things and, enjoy your Sunday afternoon with your foot of snow in your backyard.
Yeah, you could always think about just thinking ahead about that money that you're going to spend on doctor bills and rehab, and you can always get a snow blower and then just snow blow your driveway, then drive to the gym, getting a good workout. But could do that as well. Mike, we got another question from the Talk Shoe listeners. Someone is asking just about what projects you're working on that they should look forward to in 2008. Is there anything that's really coming up soon?
Well, there is always tons of things going on. The main thing that I'm really working on right now is getting all the presentations ready for this Australian seminar series.
Oh, so what's
Because
just for the people who don't know, you could you just talk a little bit about what you're doing in Australia?
yeah, I'm actually doing 2 one-day seminars. Saturday, February 23rd, I'll be in Sydney. And then Sunday, February 24th, I'll be in Melbourne. about an hour flight, I guess. So they're about 3 hours apart, so it's gonna be a long weekend. You know, 6 hours of presenting, then go hop on a plane, then present for 6 hours the next day. But basically what I'm gonna try and do is in 1 hour give my best overview of how I train people. So 1 hour and a half session is gonna be my Bulletproof Knees seminar. And, you know, if you guys have seen that or heard about it, a lot of it is just smart ways to train your lower body.
Mm-hmm.
So it's got a knee-based slant. I'm going to do an hour and a half presentation on upper body training, an hour and a half presentation on core training, then I'm going to wrap it up with an hour and a half section on program design. So basically start to finish how I set up programs, whether it's a beginner, intermediate, advanced. I'm going to go into all the different things that I include in a workout, so whether that's energy system stuff, strength training, activation, foam rolling, kind of give them, you know, my whole philosophy so they can kind of take from that what they will and then go forward. So that's going to be, you know, if you've ever tried to put together, you know, an hour and a half seminar, you know, it takes a little time. So I've been working on all those and getting those set up. So that's the first main thing, because that's 2 months away, really. So I've almost got those presentations done. That'll give me plenty of time for rehearsal and preparation. On the other side of things, Bill and I are working on extending our Inside Out product line. First thing we're going to work on there, we're going to basically start looking at different movement patterns and just break it down to the hilt. What goes on, for instance, our first product most likely will be what we call Inside Out Squat.
Mm-hmm.
Okay, so not just how to squat, but why you squat the way you do. What's the difference biomechanically between a front squat or a plate squat or a Zerker squat or a back squat? And we're going to talk about, you know, how the body works at the different muscles, joints, how it's done, why you might choose, for example, front squat over a back squat. There are tons of coaches now, whether it's Dos Remedios or Mike Boyle or, you know, whoever else, that love the front squat more than they like the back squat. So instead of just saying, oh, you should front squat versus you should back squat, why?
Mm-hmm.
What's the decision-making process if you're a trainer? So I think it's going to, you know, give a lot of info. So not only will you know the inside and out of, you know, why you should do it, why you may not do it, but you'll have a decision-making process that you can go through either as a trainer or a trainee, decide, oh, this is a good exercise for me, this is why I'm doing it. So it'll give a lot of rationale as to why, you know, why each exercise is important, how to choose which variation is best for you, and, you know, give you a lot of the inside information as to best ways to go about doing it.
So you're going to cover the squat first, is that what you said?
That's our first one, yes, and then we'll kind of figure out where we want to go from there. But I think it'll be really unique because it's going to be very science-based, too. You know, we're not just going to say, oh, you know, you should narrow stance squat because it'll use more quads.
Mm-hmm.
Because, you know, if you get into the research, that's a myth. I mean, most people, I would have taken that totally, you know, if somebody had said that to me 2 months ago, I would have said, sure, I buy into that. But if you get into the research, that's not necessarily the case. So, you know, we're going to try and shed some of the exercise myths that are out there and really get down to why you should do certain things. You know, why would you use a narrow stance, high bar squat versus a power squat? How does it change the mechanics of the lift? How does it change the muscle groups that are recruited? So there's just so much information out there, and we've relied for so long on just kind of hearsay. You know, the biggest guy in the gym says to do this, so you do it.
Mm-hmm.
And so we're going to try and get away from it. So there's tons of information out there. Long story short, we're going to take all the science, all the biomechanics, put it into one functional product that trainers and, you know, high-level or interested trainees can use to improve their performance and have a better understanding of why they're doing what they're doing.
So,
very long answer.
Is there a timetable on when the squat is going to be out?
Sometime in 08. If you guys know Bill is about as busy a person as I know. And so we're just, the big thing is there's not going to be a rush. You know, I think we want to make sure each product is of extremely high quality. And so, you know, if we keep coming up with research that, you know, gives us a better, more information or a better product, then, you know, we're not going to put a timetable on it for that reason. But ideally, I think we'd like to at least have a rough draft of it done end of January. So we're making progress, but, you know, I wouldn't expect it any time before March at this rate. So
Maybe we can get both you and Bill on when it comes out, and we can talk about it at that point, because we haven't had Bill on since he was on with you talking about Inside Out over a year ago.
Yeah, it's probably been a little while. I'm telling you, that guy's busy.
Yeah.
Doing a lot of stuff.
Let's jump back into the questions. We actually have a question that was submitted through email. This is from Elliot. Mike, I'm trying to do some prehab work and break out my weak rotator, so I'm doing sideline abduction. Just to clarify, as the audio might not be great, it's abduction raises. My right side is considerably weaker than my left, and it fails in the middle of a set very quickly. He says, not like normal when you grind out reps. What do you suggest to remedy this discrepancy, and how can I bring up my work part if that aggravates me to train it? I did my best to read that, and that's from Elliot.
Yeah, I kind of read over the question. I'm not totally sure. He's talking about having, I'm assuming, weak external rotators or internal rotators, but a sideline abduction raise would be for like a supraspinatus, like a supraspinatus type rehab exercise. So, you know, I understand that there's a strength imbalance, but, you know, at the same time, he's talking about grinding out reps and any kind of isolation-based exercise, there's not going to be too much grinding out of reps. You know, it's not like a heavy squat or bench press or something. So I'm not totally sure, but one thing that definitely stands out to me is how he talks about how it just fails in the middle of a set very quickly. That makes me sound like there may be some sort of nervous system issue there. You know, generally, if, you know, it's a very quick and immediate failure, you know, there might be something going on. So if I were him, I would check, you know, maybe if he's got some issues surrounding his T-spine or cervical spine alignment. He may have, you know, some scar tissue or adhesions build up somewhere in his shoulder that he's not aware of. But with how he wrote the question, it doesn't make a whole lot of sense to me. So I would suggest, though, if he's got that big of an imbalance, to do his best. Maybe he needs to check out, you know, a qualified ortho or PT or somebody to have it checked out and addressed and make sure there's not something more pressing going on there.
Yeah,
sorry, Elliot. I couldn't give you a better answer, but that's the best I can do.
Yeah, Elliot didn't leave a location where he is, so he might not be English might not be first language, because I know we do have a lot of listeners around the world. We even have some listeners we have a listener in South Africa, which is pretty cool. But
very cool.
It's great that with this medium we can really really just, you know, branch out to anywhere on the planet that people have internet. So let's jump in. We'll take a couple more questions from the TalkShoe listeners. So if you guys who are listening in TalkShoe, please submit your questions now. And we'll ask, this is a question that, I mean, you probably get a lot, Mike. But the question is, what are you doing right now currently training-wise for yourself?
Well, the big thing is always, you know, kind of getting stronger. But I think I talked about this a little bit in my last show. I remember a while back John Berardi talking about how strong is strong, how lean is lean enough. And, you know, kind of the transition he made when he went from being a full-time athlete to doing more full-time coaching and more full-time work. And I've kind of been in that boat myself for really about the last 2 years. So my goal hasn't necessarily been to, you know, compete in a powerlifting meet and break personal records and take my performance to another level. Fortunately, what happened when I started training is, like all of us, you know, I thought, oh, well, you know, my form's perfect, my technique's perfect, I'm doing everything correctly. and you know that's not always the case. So the big thing that I've been working on, most importantly for me lately, has just been movement quality. Got short torso, long legs, so I'm not predisposed to a beautiful squat. So I've been doing a lot of front squatting, trying to rebuild my squat and make that a little bit more upright and a little bit smoother. I've been doing a ton of push-up variations and things of that nature to keep my shoulders healthy. You know, when you kind of jump right into powerlifting without having the necessary base for it, bench pressing, and if you don't do that requisite push-ups exercises to develop your serratus, it can leave you with a very unstable scapula. So I've been working on those two main areas, you know, kind of retooling my squat and retooling the muscles that'll give me a bigger bench in the long run. Ideally, you know, maybe sometime next year I will get into a meet, because that's obviously where my passion is I love powerlifting and I love the sport. But at the same time, you know, busy, whether it's personal training, strength coaching, writing, speaking, you know, I wear a lot of hats, and, you know, I'm married to a lovely young lady, too, so, you know, life gets in the way sometimes. So more than anything, it's maintenance and health healthy, and, you know, hopefully in the next year or two, I'll get back on the platform and start doing it. Just enjoying in life and training, right?
Mike, I don't... It might just be me, but I think your headset might be coming out, might be unplugged or something, or I don't know if your mouthpiece is not entirely.
Weird.
Okay, that's better.
That's better now.
Yeah, I'll fix the volume in post production, so it should sound pretty good.
Okay,
yeah, that sounds a lot better.
Yeah, I don't know what happened.
Let's take one more question from the listeners before we go. The question is, what do you do when the science or research doesn't support a result that you believe a certain training? I probably should have, because I have trouble viewing these, so I should have copy-pasted, believe a certain training program. I got it, Jimmy. Believe a certain training program, supplement, or exercise gives you.
I just don't talk about that research. I'm just kidding.
Jimmy and I were just like dead silent. Like, know? Is he serious?
No. You know, well, here's the thing. You know, we all have our own philosophies, right? And as much as it may hurt our ego from time to time, you know, none of us know everything. So the best we can do is, you know, not just read the research, but read into the research. You know, was this a properly ran study? Is this something that's going to be repeatable over 5 or 10 or 15 or 20 studies? So, you know, you're not always going to be spot on with what you recommend. You know, from time to time, you might be flat out wrong. But the best thing you can do is, the bottom line is it comes down to results. So if you're getting results for your clients and getting results for your athletes, then you're doing pretty darn well. The thing you need to do is always go back and evaluate. Is everything that I'm doing giving my clients or athletes the best possible result? And if you can get into the research and say, look, I was wrong about this, I'm going to do something a little bit different and make your programming better, then that makes you a better coach in the long run. If you're stuck behind your ego and, you know, doing HIIT-based training, whatever, then that's kind of what you have to do. But, you know, it just comes down to leaving your ego at the door, taking what the science and what, you know, the in-the-trenches research is showing you, and using that to get better. And that's really what it comes down to, you know. If you're coaching with your ego year after year, you know, next thing you know, 5-10 years, you're way behind the curve. So the best thing you can do is, you know, keep up, adjust your philosophy on the go, keep learning. That's the best thing you can do. So,
well put.
Hopefully that makes sense. Huh. And when in doubt, just disregard the research.
Yeah. You can always make it up. But I think we're gonna wrap it up tonight. We had a good. We got 45 minutes of show, so I think that should be good for the audience. And I know just to talk briefly before we go about what's going to be going on over the next couple of weeks as the holidays are quickly approaching. We're gonna do a show next week, so we will have a show for you next week. But then after that, we're gonna take the week off to spend the time with our families and just, you know, take a break from the show and probably do some shoveling. And hopefully you guys won't miss us too much. I mean, you can always go back. We've done 77 episodes, or at that point 78, so there's tons of great content. Especially if you're a new listener, go back into some of those old episodes. There's a huge list on the side of the fitcast.com, and it tells you exactly who the guests are, and check out the show notes. If something interests you, just download it, give it a listen. I mean, the content is at most almost 2 years old, so it's not like it's out of date stuff. It's not like the textbooks you were reading in high school, I promise you that. So that's pretty much the story from us. But what do you guys think? You guys feel pretty good about the show?
Yeah, I'm good to go. It's a good show.
Okay, so we're going to get out of here. Again, don't forget to check out thefitcast.com. You can check out robertsontrainingsystems.com. You guys know Jimmy's site. Do I really even need to say that every week? You know it. It's jimmysmithtraining.blogspot.com and also .com. Jimmy has to just see if he can get jst.blogspot.com. Otherwise, I think we're just going to have to stop saying the Blogspot site. But thanks for everyone out there in the talk show audience. Again, if you're a listener to the show and you want to check it out live and you want to ask questions live, you should really check out the talk show option. It's great to get. We had a handful of people in this week. It'd be great if we can get 20 or 30 people in and just really get some good conversations going and, you know, just see what happens. I think it's a great way for us to talk to you, the audience, and for you to really, you know, ask follow-up questions, and maybe we don't answer your questions completely. It's a great way to just make sure you get maybe not get the answer that you want, but make sure you get a clear and concise answer. So, again, that's going to wrap it up for us. So for episode number 77, I'm Kevin Larrabee.
Mike.
Wow. I'm Mike Robertson.
I'm Jimmy Smith.
And we'll take you. That was my fault. I didn't fix that before the show, but that's how we roll. That happens sometimes. Thanks again, everyone, for listening. Again, don't forget to check out thefitcast.com. Check out robertsontrainingsystems.com. And you know what? Harass Mike. Try to get that 15% because he's got some great products on that site. And you know what? You can get them there before Christmas still if you act fast. So thanks again, everyone, and we'll see you next week. Take care. I didn't talk about the Colts. The Colts have lost two games, right? Is that two games?
No.
Yeah.
Yep. But I guess that happens, so it's all right, and we will see.
It does.
The only thing that matters is the playoffs, right?
That's correct.
That's all.
As long as we get our team healthy, then that's all we can ask for.
They're losing to the Giants last week of the season.
That's
all I'm going to say.
That'd be interesting.
Hey, do you want to put... I bet you $25, and we'll do this to charity. $25 to the charity of your choice that the Patriots will go 16-0.
They only have two more games, dude. If you gave me that 10 games ago, I would have taken it.
Well, you said they're going to lose to the Giants. $25 to charity.
Not doing it. I'm not doing it. No.
Scrooge. Scrooge. I'm putting this.
I'm hanging up. Hey,
I'm
Mike,
putting this at the end of the show. People
always,
are going to hear about
shut
this.
Shut up. Always nice talking to you, Mike. Happy holidays to you and your family.
Thank you.